Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Open up your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's in the Old Testament. This is part four of the blessing of the Lord. We started talking about Numbers chapter 6 and the phrasing of what God told Moses to tell the children of it, to tell Aaron, the priesthood, to tell the priests of, this is how you bless my people. And Numbers 6:22 is where we were at, and we've spent a number of weeks on that. This is the fourth week, and I'm going to end it this week. And talking about the blessing of the Lord and what that looks like and what that declaration is and how we have this awesome privilege as disciples of Christ, not only to walk in the blessing of the Lord, but to actually release the blessing of the Lord. And Jesus said it this way. He said, you know, you've heard, you know, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, you know, don't start none, there won't be none kind of thing, right? But what Jesus said was, bless your enemies. Bless them. And some might say, well, I ain't going to bless them. Boy, that's dangerous. Bless those who persecute you. And so this blessing of the Lord needs to be released. And maybe if the blessing of the Lord was declared in an intercessory fashion, like praying and declaring things for people, even for our enemies, with compassion and faith, believe, we know what they're doing, but we know what God wants to do in their life. We can see the things that they're doing that are wrong and that are just not good, but we also have to see what God is wanting to do in that person's life. And we got to come into agreement with God to say, God, I believe that there's a Paul in that Saul. I believe that there's God's going to use that person's life. How many of you, this is be a weird test. How many of you in your life, you had at least a season? I mean, I know you're up in church and everything's straight. Everything's good. But how many of you used to not walk with the Lord? Yeah, some of y'all should put both hands up. And yeah, and the reality is that, so how dare we look at people who are not walking with the Lord with some kind of thing of like, now we're better than they are. We have to deal with some stuff, and sometimes you have to confront some stuff and deal with it, but it always should be from a perspective of Lord, I want your will for their life. I want your blessing on their life. I don't want you to bless them in their disobedience. I don't want you to bless them in their arrogance. I'm not saying bless them because of what they're doing. I'm saying, Lord, I want there to be a turnaround in their life. And so I'm going to come into agreement with you in spite of what they're doing and in spite of what they're saying, and I'm going to believe the best. And so we just start praying the best over them, because here's the deal. If we let what they're doing, if God treated us the way we sometimes treat others, then we would never be in relationship with God. So the blessing of the Lord is something that you need to take upon for you and for your family, but also an overflow. Because remember, we're blessed to be a blessing, you know, for other people. So y'all know, here's a little pop quiz. If I was to ask you, what is the love chapter in the Bible? Could anybody tell me what the love chapter in the Bible is? The love chapter. Ephesians 4 is what you said, okay? It talks about love in Ephesians 4. What's like the main love chapter? 1 Corinthians 13. Jim Lewis reads his Bible. Evidence. Okay? Anybody who could tell me what the, and Jim, you're on mute. Anybody who can tell me what the faith chapter is in the Bible? I heard it somewhere. Hebrews 11? That's right, Hebrews 11. Everyone who's like, I don't know, you need to read your Bible more. You need to get in the Word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, more than any other place in the Bible, if you want to look at a description of what does love look like, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you want to look at a description of what does faith look like in somebody's life, read Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? If you want to look and have a description of what does the blessing of God look like, read Deuteronomy 28. So, and in Deuteronomy 28, there's 14 verses that talk about the blessing of God. But there's 54 verses that talk about the curses. I'm not going to focus on the curses today. I'm going to focus on the blessings. So we're going to read Deuteronomy 28, starting in chapter 28 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Hopefully you got a Bible or you can read this and see it. If you do have a Bible out and you got Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and you're ready, say, I got it. Now it shall come to pass that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will, notice what he'll do, the Lord your God will set you on high, meaning lift you up on high above the nations of the earth. He's not saying you're better than, he's just going to lift you up to as an example. Verse 2, and all these blessings, notice they're plural, everybody say blessings, shall come upon you and overtake you because you're in need and you need somebody to help you. No. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds or your business and the increase of your cattle and your offspring and your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket, your bank account, and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. That's a huge word, phrase, to himself. Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep his commandments commandments of the Lord, your God, and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. It's talking about respect there. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain in your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods and serve them. And we'll end on verse 15. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And so as we look at this and want to understand, you know, this scripture, there's so much to talk about. I mean, this whole thing could be, you know, 12 lessons easily. And so I want to kind of summarize a few things in your heart and in your mind today to help best position you and your family to actually walk in the blessing of the Lord. Because in Jesus Christ, when we come in relationship with Jesus Christ, and when any person begins a relationship with Jesus Christ, you immediately receive the blessing of the Lord. He took upon the curse for you. He became a curse for you. There is an exchange that happens. By faith, Jesus took the curse. He didn't smoke what you smoked. He didn't drink what you drank. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. He didn't do your sin. He didn't earn the curse. He didn't sin to earn the curse. He took the curse by faith. And what he asks of you and invites you and me to in relationship with him is for us to take the blessing by faith. You cannot earn the blessing. You cannot earn the blessing. But there is a lifestyle that positions you to unlock and unleash the blessing of God in your life. But you have received the blessing by faith, the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've received, you have it. You have it in seed form. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, that he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. So you have the potential of God's blessing, you know, given to you. You got the activation code. It's been given to you. And so now we need to learn how to get our hands on what we have. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it's in my reach. So Jesus brought the blessings of the king and his kingdom within my reach. And so now I've got to learn, how do I get my hands on that thing and my hands on what Jesus has already given me for free so that his blessing can overflow through my life. See, that's what you did with sin, or you know, some of y'all did with sin. You had all the potential of sin, and some of you got your hands on it. Some of you got your hands on what you had. You didn't sin. You didn't become a sinner because you sinned. You sinned because you are a sinner. And some of you were pretty fruitful in your sin. You went from zero to, oh my goodness, really quick. And you knew how to, by faith, get your hands on who you were and what you had and unlock it and unleash it in a lifestyle that was in agreement with your identity of sin. But now what has to happen is you got to have that same faith and that same passion and that same lifestyle in a different direction, because you're a new creation in Christ. Anyone who's a new creation in Christ, can I just hear your name in? So if you're a new creation in Christ, you got to renew your mind. You got to change some things to reposition you to walk in the blessing of the Lord. And in the same way that you use the members of your body, your mind and the members of your body to increase in wickedness and sin, Paul says that's the same way that you give yourselves to the Lord in obedience to the Lord to increase in godliness and righteousness. And so you have the blessing of the Lord. I'm not talking about doing something to earn something. I'm saying he's given you something for free. Walk in it. Walk in it. One of the most confusing things that can happen for believers is to believe that God has good intentions for me and God wants to bless me, but never figure out what's getting in the way. And it's one of three people that's getting in the way. Me, myself, or I. One of those three is getting in the way. And so, matter of fact, whisper to your neighbors, like, don't get in the way. So what's the main benefit? The main benefit of the blessing, because there's all kinds of stuff we can look at. I could probably make a list of 10 unpacking these blessings, but we're going to look at five this morning. We'll look at five like benefits of the blessing. Five things that kind of are just going to make a big picture, 1-2 skip a few, and give you five things of what the blessing of God, what I believe this chapter is saying. But before I get into that, the main point, the overall, the 1,000-foot view, the main point when you look at verse 1 and verse 2, the main benefit is this, is that God will exalt you. He'll set you on high and lift you up. So, and here's what that looks like. And Sean, I'm just going to pick on you. He's acting like he's taking notes. He's just over there. He's just scribbling. That's all he's doing. But hey, Sean, I'm going to use you as a prop today. So if you could put your stuff down. And this is the Seldat family. If you don't know Sean and Krista Seldat, if you don't know this family, you need to get to know them. Years ago in another life, I was their youth pastor. They went through the counseling and they got over that. So you've got to get to know Sean and Krista and their family. They're amazing. So here's the deal. If I'm the Lord and I'm coming to Sean, and this is the overall 1,000-foot view, 1-2 skip a few, big picture of what the blessing of the Lord wants to look like. And your Bible, if you'll see it, if you have eyes to see it, this is how the Bible is written. God did this with Abraham. God did this with Isaac. God did this with Jacob. God did this with David. He did it with people, and he did it with a nation, so you can understand what he wants to do in you. It's not just, oh, look at what God did with them. Oh, wow, but I'm terrible. No, it's what God did with them is he wants to do with us. But he wants to take what he did with them and bring it into a flesh and blood example, because we all don't like to read. Flesh and blood example. So the 1,000-foot view is God's coming over and he's saying, basically, it's not you humble yourself before me. It's not that nonsense. It's I'm bigger than you. I'm smarter than you. and I've got plans for you. I've created you for something good, and you'll never figure it out without my help. You'll never figure out the purpose of why I created you without my help. So I'm here to help, and I've got a better way for you. And the 1,000-foot view is, come on, go ahead and stand up and come walk a little bit towards me, but not too close. So I want you to walk with me. I want you to follow me. I want you to take a little steps. I want you to follow me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you, just walk right up this way, walk up these steps. I'm going to take your life, and I'm going to use you as an example. Keep walking up. I'm going to use you as an example. And just come right out here. So I'm going to bless you. Not because of you. I'm blessing you because of them. I'm blessing you not because you're better than them. I didn't lift you up to say, look at Sean. Why can't y'all be more like Sean? Anybody have any parents that ever like compare you to your siblings? Why can't you be more like so-and-so? My mom used to do that to me. My dad used to. Why can't you be like your brother Billy? He has that thing, you know, my brother had that thing, a job. Drove me crazy, you know, drove me crazy. So it's not setting him up saying, look at Sean, y'all are terrible. You're a bunch of losers. Sean's a winner. Why can't you be more like Sean? That's not what the blessing of the Lord is about. It's not a us or them mentality. The blessing of the Lord is God bringing fresh, new evidence in the courtroom of people's minds. To say what God did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not something that's old. And that's where progressive, you better be careful. Because I'm all about going forward if it's releasing what God's promised in the past. Because I can look at the examples found in Scripture, and now I can watch the Spirit of God make an example right in front of me. So that now when I see Sean and I see him blessed, I don't begin to think, well, he's blessed because he's so smart. We all know that ain't right. Or he's blessed because this, that, or the other. No, it's the Lord. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's not the blessing of Sean. We all know Sean's overrated. It's the blessing of the Lord in Sean's life. Never confuse that. Don't look at somebody and don't ever be somebody when the Lord's doing something in your life or has brought you to another level. Don't ever start thinking, look what I have done. Yeah, I mean, we know you never say that, but don't think it. Because if you think it, you'll drink the Kool-Aid and you know, like we used to say back in youth, you don't know if you remember this, but I used to tell the kids all the time, you all up in the Kool-Aid and don't even know the flavor. You'll drink the Kool-Aid and you'll be confused about who you are. And that confusion will begin to change things as you go. So God wants to take the blessing of the Lord. As you humble yourself before the Lord, he wants to exalt you and bring you to another level so that people down on this level can look at you and say, man, how in the world did you get there? And the first thing he needs to say is, first of all, it's not me. It's my complete and total partnership and where it's like, I've got a partner and he is the Lord. And what he's done in me, he'll do in you. Matter of fact, I've messed up worse than you. And if he can bring me from there to here, he can bring you from there to here. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, if you're willing, he's ready. If you're willing, he's ready. But if you're going to keep living your stuff and you want God to come down here and bless your mess because you're comfortable in your chaos, that ain't how this thing works. The only reason God came here was to lead you back here. He meets you where you are to take you to where he is. And every one of us in this room and everyone watching at home, God wants to make you an example. God wants to make you an example. And through the process, come right back down here again. I'll show you one more thing. And through the process, I'm gonna show you the five things in a second, but I want you to see this. It's not that God comes and says, okay, Sean, here it is. Here's the formula. Here's the strategy. Here's the recipe. All right, go do it. Go do it. All right, you go do it. He's not giving you a strategy and a formula for you to go do. He's not giving you like the keys and for you just to go do it. The best part about this whole process of going from here to there and you getting your hands on and unpacking the blessing of the Lord in your life, it's not the stuff that you might get. Because part of the blessing is when you get the stuff, you get to give it away. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the money. It's not about the name. It's not about the success. It's not about any of that. It's about the relationship that's developed as you begin to walk with the Lord. It's like, I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to disciple you. And it's the relationship that happens, and you get to know the Lord in a way that you never would have known him before until you got on this journey. The blessing of the Lord in your life is not about things. The blessing of the Lord in your life is not about a level of success. The blessing of the Lord in your life is for you to grow your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you get to understand all of who he is and all of who you are in him. And he stretches you and he challenges you and he corrects you and he leads you to make your life an evidence of how good he is in the middle of how bad you are. That's the blessing of the Lord. You get to know him. Because if you go back and sit in your chair, please. If he sits in his chair, sits in church every Sunday, but never takes action to activate his calling, and he keeps coming to church, says, amen, Pastor John, amen, Pastor John, but he never engages in this process. He may know intellectually that the Lord is good, but he won't know it relationally. And the Christ in him, with all the dimensions of potential that's in him, will never be released. And he'll miss the blessing of God being able to use his life for evidence of how good God is. I want you to tell yourself, but I want you to say it out loud. God has blessed me. He's blessed you. He's blessed you. And let me just... let me tell you how the blessing and the curse operate. The blessing, the curse, darkness operates like this. It takes good things and makes them bad. And takes bad things to worse. Looks good. Might even start out good. But good in the curse turns to bad. Bad, through the force of the curse, turns to worse. But the blessing, the power of the blessing of God, takes bad, turns it into good. Takes good and turns it into better. That's the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. Don't mean there won't be struggle. There just won't be sorrow. And what does sorrow mean? I'm really sorry I got into this. The blessing of the Lord will outlast the battle. The blessing of the Lord does not mean you won't have a battle. Does not mean you won't have an enemy. Does not mean you won't have a struggle. Does not mean you won't go through seasons of famine and difficulty and attack. Many times you'll face greater attack and greater challenges because of the one you're walking with. And if you've started to say, I want to walk with the Lord. I'm tired of being here. I believe God's calling me here, and it's time I do something about it for me and my family. I'm not going to sit back as a victim anymore. It's time for me to get going and start following Jesus. Start following him and start being real. Start making some decisions and start doing something. What happens is you start off with all kinds of courage, but the moment you start, the enemy comes at you. Two things happen. The enemy comes at you from outside, and then every false belief inside of you that doesn't agree with what God is saying over your life, every thorn and every thistle that's in you begins to activate and begins to choke you and begins to make you feel like this is not good. And what God is doing is allowing in those difficult seasons for things in you to come to the surface so you can pull them out. So you can get rid of them, not so you can live with it, that you can get rid of it. So when you're facing a season of struggle and you don't know what else to do, begin to look inside and say, God, you know, I don't know why things aren't changing. I don't know why the movement is not happening. I don't know why it's not moving for me. It's moving against me. So God, I don't know what you're doing around me, and I don't even know what they're doing, but I'm going to take a little bit of time and focus on what you're doing within me. And in this season, I'm going to prepare for the next season. And I'm going to look at the things inside of me that are aching and shaking, so I can remove those to prepare me for my next season. Because I can't let it make me question God's purpose. I know the purpose. I know the process. You look at Joseph's life. Joseph, from the pit, from the prison, Potiphar's house, all of that stuff, all the way to the palace. The whole process. We get to see from a 1,000-foot view the process. But when we're walking in the process and we're hitting the face with life and we're hitting the face with stuff because we want to start walking with God, sometimes we forget. And we start questioning God. We start questioning the process and we give up and go back to what's comfortable. But what needs to happen is, Lord, I know you're taking me to new levels. I know you're taking me to new places, God, and I don't want to go anywhere you don't want me to go. But if I follow you and you keep growing me and we grow in relationship through the process and I live a lifestyle of obedience following you, one day, God, you will bring me, and all the way through the process, you're bringing me to a point not of I have arrived, not I'm better than, but man, the Lord is good. And every battle and every struggle and every trial and everything that we went through and all the people who I thought were with me but found out they were against me, that may hurt. This is where I get in trouble. I'm just going to say it. There are people who are no longer at this church that it broke my heart when they left. But God has showed me they were never here to begin with. Not everyone who's left. I'm not saying everyone who's left. I'm saying there are certain people that I wanted here, but they had a different agenda. They had a different agenda. Rick Lindenny used to tell me, be careful. He said, be careful, Bubba. I'm like, what? He said, trust me, learn from my mistakes. He said, you believe the best about people. He said, be careful, Bubba. And he called me Bubba. Be careful, Bubba. I'm like, why? He says, some of the people that hug you the most and hug you the tightest have a dagger in their hand. And they're trying to get close to you. Not to bring you up, but to take you out. How do you know? He used to tell me, how do you know? Here's some of the signs you can see. There's two things. And this sermon has totally changed. Two ways you can tell. One, they will not celebrate your successes. They will not sincerely, genuinely celebrate your successes. And the second one is, when you're in a struggle, they'll leave you. They'll leave you. I want somebody, if I'm walking with the Lord and I stumble and I fumble. Now, it's one thing if I'm like, forget you, Lord. I ain't walking with you no more. I'm going to leave that person too. If that person's going to leave the Lord, I'm leaving that person. But for somebody who's struggling, like, and they trip and they fumble. Oh, man, they mess up and, you know, and but they're still wanting to go this direction. They're just having a hard time. Don't leave that person. Don't leave that person. I think sometimes as a church, we're so quick to just leave. So quick to leave. Something doesn't go our way. We leave the Lord. We leave the church. We leave everything. Because it's too easy to go do something else. But if you want to walk in the blessing of the Lord, it's going to be a process and it's going to take commitment. And one of the key words, and guys, pull up the slide about the obey. One of the key words is this word, if you obey. It's that word Shema. The word obey is the same word here in the Bible. It's called Shema. It's Deuteronomy 6. We've talked about it. I've taught it here. It's really what Jesus was saying when he's teaching the great commandment and the first commandment. It's hear, understand, and obey. It's hearing to the point of action. It's not like I'm gonna hear you, and after I hear what you say, I'll decide if I want to take action. That's not what obey is. See, we have to do that in our life with other people. We listen, and if what you're saying is valuable, okay, I might do it. But when it comes to like a parenting relationship, children, like children, let me help y'all out. It's not always what your parents are saying, it's who's saying it. And because of the position of their relationship being your parents, it's not about, well, I'm going to wait to see if I agree with what you say. No, if you're saying it, my heart is to obey. And so the reality, and then kids, let me tell you why that's important. Every kid in here listening to me, let me tell you why that's important for you to obey your parents so that it will go well with you. It's a promise in the Bible. Obey your parents that it will go well with you because we know something that you don't know. We used to be kids ourselves. And some of your parents are still kids. But we used to be kids ourselves. And we used to be disrespectful and dishonorable to our parents. But now we know something that you don't know. We have kids. Kids, you don't have kids yet. We have kids. So now we know what our parents felt like when they were saying, take out the trash, and it was World War III. Instead of just, yeah, I'll take out the trash. See, we know what you don't know, which is this. One day you're going to have kids. And one day you're going to say the very things your parents have asked you to do and you fought them with an attitude the whole time and it would have been much simpler just to do it. We know what you don't know is one day you're going to have to fight that battle with your kids. And if you want it to go well with you, and this is what I believe that scripture is saying, if you want it to go well with you, obey your parents now, that seed for when you become a parent. And do you want your child responding to you the way you respond to your parent? See, the blessing of the Lord in your life is long term. And I promise you, it outlasts the battle. The battle and the struggle and whatever it is that you're facing. And the focus of it is obedience. The focus of it is, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to walk in obedience to everything that you have in my life and for my life. So I'm going to skip to let's go through the five things, guys. Skip down to the five things. I'm going to skip a handful of verses. So the first one is influence and impact. God wants to increase your influence and impact from an eternal perspective. He's not trying to make you great. He's not trying to bring Sean up here and make Sean great. He's not trying to do that. What he's trying to do is trying through Sean's life, through the conduit of Sean's life and through your life and through my life, he's trying to have an eternal influence and an eternal impact in a temporary situation. So he's trying to have an eternal influence, an eternal impact that is in agreement with the character and the nature of God, not the character and nature of Sean, to release his wisdom and his influence in this earthly realm so that he may be glorified. You know, sometimes I've sent people to do things, like as a church and whatever. I've gone to somebody and I've said, hey, would you please go check on so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? And so a person would go and they'd check on so-and-so. And they go check on so-and-so, and they're like, hey, I came to check on you. Pastor John was too busy, so I came to check on you. As if it was Homer's idea to begin with, but it wasn't. It was my idea. And I was caring about this person, thinking about this. Hey, will you call? Will you check on this one person? And so this person then takes my influence from my idea and uses it for themselves in that relationship. Hey, I came to check on you. Which is funny to me because all you was doing was scrolling through Facebook until I said, hey, how about you go check on this person? And you go check on this person, but what ends up happening, you use the influence and make an impact for yourself, not for the king. And it's real easy to do that kind of stuff. So when we are living this kind of lifestyle with an obedient heart and walking in the blessing of the Lord, we don't want to take the credit or take the glory or take that unto ourselves. We want to be like, man, you know, the proper way to do it in this earthly situation, hey, Pastor John got me off my blessed assurance and brought me here to check on you. He wanted to make sure you're okay. I want to make sure you're okay. Pastor John sent me here to check on you. That's the proper way to do that. And the proper way to have it in with the Lord is the Lord begins to give you ideas. The Lord begins to speak to you about different things. As you're walking with him and he's leading you, he begins to show you stuff. So he wants to give you, he wants to create divine influence and divine impact through your life. But make sure you give him glory for it. Make sure you give him glory for it. I will never forget being with Dale Yurton in Mexico. First time I went with him in Mexico. Y'all heard me say this before, but I was there with him in Mexico and he was preaching and it's like basically God preaching. It was just incredible watching the influence that God has given him there. It was just unbelievable. These people that were just learning from God and worshiping God and just the favor that God has given them here. And I'm sitting there in the front row knowing I'm having to speak next. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, what am I going to teach? This is just going to be embarrassing. And so we're going back that night. And it was an incredible night of stuff that happened. And he began just to talk to me. And I'll make it short that he said that he was with the man that showed him a spiritual father in his life that showed him some different things. And his what he did, I don't know if he did it every night, but what he talked about that he does normally is he goes, and this is how he ends that night after he was ministering somewhere or doing whatever. He'd go back to the hotel room, and he'd get on his knees, and he'd say, Lord, I remember this lady came to me and said, oh, what a great sermon. And then somebody else came to me and said, oh, that really touched my life and changed me. Oh, Brother Yurton, thank you for teaching that. That really has transformed me. He said, I'll go back in my mind and remember all those things. And Lord, when they were talking about me, they were really talking about you. So I give you what they gave me because they were really talking about you. And I wonder for you and your business, if you ever sit down with your family and you're as a worker somewhere, you ever sit down and say, man, the successes that I've had, Lord, these people bragging about me, these people saying all these great things. It's like Sean sitting up here, these people saying great things. Lord, you make time to say, Lord, they're talking about me, but they're really talking about you. It's your blessing. It's your blessing in my life. I'm not that good. I'm not that good. Lord, it's your blessing in my life. You're giving me influence. You're giving me impact. And the next one is increase in fruitfulness. There's increase in fruitfulness. It's reproducing in your life. There's increase and fruitfulness in your life. Now, every season is not a harvest season. Every farmer in here knows that you don't expect to reap in every season. But you realize the overall process is I'm going to reap. And you know that there's some seasons where hailstorms or different things affect the crops. Even on the best farms, there's things that still happen. But the overall 1-2 skip a few process is I am increasing and I am reaping. I'm being fruitful. The third thing is victory and peace. We're walking in victory. We're walking in peace. I'm blessed as I'm coming in. I'm blessed as I'm going out. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the country. What that means is the blessing of the Lord on my life for influence and impact and all these things, victory and peace is not just on me, but it's through me. So it means as I go into the city and I go into the country, that I'm making influence and impact there. It's already saying that it's as I go here and as I go there, that I'm bringing the blessing of the Lord and he's using my life as an example there. And I just really believe that some of you are here and in your life, God's expanding you. He's wanting to expand you, but fear and different things and comfort is keeping you isolated and keeping you settled back. And the Lord is saying, okay, what I've done here, I'm going to do here. And I know it might be scary. I know it might be scary, but I'm expanding you. And I'm saying this by the Spirit of the Lord to somebody in this room. He's expanding you. The blessing of the Lord is expanding you. So you got to hear him and you got to obey him to let him increase you. And right now you're preoccupied with all the reasons why it won't work. And many times in my life, the 10 reasons of why it won't work and the one reason why it will work, and the first word of that is God, the one outweighs the 10. And he's expanding you in your life. The next one is prosperity and provision. Kingdom prosperity is always for the purpose of generosity. Always for the purpose of generosity. Always the purpose of bless other people. And he's expanding you. The Lord is my source. He's my sight. He's my shalom. He's all those things that we talked about. And he's expanding me. And the blessing of the Lord is moving in me and moving through me. And the last one is success and significance. Success and significance as defined by God, not by the world. We'll have good success and have significance. That's the blessing of the Lord in my life. Covers every area of my life. Covers every area of my life. And walking in the blessing of the Lord and walking in an obedience that is motivated by love, keeping his commandments, to walk in obedience that's motivated by love is never, the Bible says in 1 John 5, it's not burdensome. You know what is burdensome? Sin. If you sin, God doesn't stop loving you. But if you live a lifestyle of sin, he stops using you. And the burden of sin is so worse than any burden of obedience. And obedience is always motivated by love. It's always motivated by love. God, I know you love me and you're building me and you're growing me. It's obedience motivated by love. I'm the head, not the tail. You know what the difference is between the head and the tail? Well, you might know a little bit about the difference. But the head is the part that thinks and makes decisions. It means you're a leader. Every disciple of Christ should be a leader. And we should lead in a way that the tail wags because it's happy. We need godly leadership. We need good leadership. We need kingdom leadership. We need Jesus leadership in our home and in our life and in our business. And not meaning that we're preaching to everybody, but that we're living in a godly lifestyle, that the blessing of the Lord is over my life and in my life and through my life. And when I lead with that way, I'm telling you the tail is going to be wagging because it's happy. But we're called to lead. We're the head, not the tail. We're above, not beneath. I heard Derek Prince say a long time ago, Sergeant Booth gave me a bunch of teachings on Derek Prince when I was a young believer, and I remember this story. He was talking about this. He said a man came up to him, and he said to the man, he said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And the guy's answer was, "Well, under these circumstances, I guess okay." And Derek Prince said, "Why are you under the circumstances?" You're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. Why are you under circumstances? You should be above them. You might be in them, but they're not in you. You need to be above those things. The blessing of the Lord is what's going on in me is not defining me. I'm going through this storm, but the storm doesn't define me. I'm not under these circumstances. I'm under submission to God. And being under submission to God, I've humbled myself before Him. He lifts me up, changes me, and transforms me. And so now there is not a set of circumstances that I am under. There's a set of circumstances I am in. But the blessing of the Lord in my life has given me authority, has given me the ability to make decisions. And some of you say, well, what about how do I change things? Some of you are wanting things to change. You're wanting things to change. You're like, I cannot keep going. I cannot keep doing this. Things have to change. If you change, things will change. If you keep waiting on things to change, you'll never change. So if you want things to change, then what needs to change in you in walking in relationship with the Lord? What do you need to stop listening to? What do you need to stop obeying? And what do you need to start listening to? And who do you need to start obeying? What kind of repentance needs to show up in your life to get serious about the Word of God? Because your life really does depend upon it. Do you want God to use your life as evidence and you say, the Lord has blessed me even through the struggle and even through the battle and even through the trial, even through the hard times? Abraham, Isaac, David, Moses, all of them had battles, had struggles, had issues, had parts of their life where it was like, let's not talk about that. But they were blessed of the Lord. They were blessed of the Lord. And worship team, you guys go ahead and come on up. The thing that I want to just drive home, and I didn't get to half of what I wanted to get to. It's so crazy. I put out a couple slides and I think, that'll work. That'll be good. 4 hours later, I'm not done. I want you to hear this. The blessing of the Lord in your life is so vital. It's so vital for you to take serious this whole process that I illustrated with Sean of relationship. And when you hear the blessing of the Lord, don't hear things. Like, I need things. Don't hear trophies. It's never about things. It's about the relationship. And when you're here and you're struggling and it's not working and it's like, what's going on? And things aren't moving around you. You need to check yourself. You need to check your, Lord, what's happening inside of me? Because I don't need circumstances to change. I need to change. I need to change. What mentality needs to change? What attitude needs to change? What needs to change in me so you can do more through me? Never have the attitude, what do I need to change so you can do more for me? The attitude is always, what do I need to change so you can do more through me? Through me. And I want to go into this time of worship and would you do me a favor? Would you bring this whole podium just right back around there and don't steal nothing on it? Appreciate it. As we go into this time of worship, I want you to just respond to the Lord. I don't care if you need to come to the altar, if you need to turn around and make your chair an altar, if you just need to sit there or you need to worship, whatever it is. But as we worship the Lord, I want your heart to be open. And I want you to be not only thanking God and blessing God, I want you to consider your life. And I want you to consider what needs to change. What area of my life do I need to like hear God better in? What area of my life do I need to start doing the Word of God and walking in the Word of God? You know what Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. And in this instruction, in this law, he meditates day and night. You remember when you used to meditate on the word of God? I'm not talking about just meditate. That'll get you in trouble. I'm talking about meditating on the word of God. So you can say, Lord, when you did this, it's almost like two sides. It's the before side, like God gives you an idea. He shows you something. Oh, wow, God, I've never seen that before. Wow, you're meditating on what he's saying to you from his word. I've never seen it. Wow. And God's going to use this seed, and you have the seed of the idea, and you're like, wow, because you see the harvest in the seed. And you get to be the one to go plant it. And then you come over here to harvest time, and you, whoa. Look at it. This is more fruitful than I ever thought it would be. Wow. And then you say, Lord, everybody here is looking at my farm and looking at my fruit, and they're giving me praise for it. So God, I stop, because I remember, God, in the middle of this harvest, I remember what it was, just a seed. And I remember everybody else was scared to sow it, but I had the courage to sow it. So in my seed, I don't forget the harvest, and in my harvest, I don't forget the seed. Because, Lord, it's your blessing in my life. So anything that's robbing you of that, maybe some of you are here and you're overwhelmed by fear, and you have no idea, you're paralyzed by fear, and you don't know what to do. Lord, help me to see. And some of you are here are paralyzed by pride, and no new stuff is coming because you keep holding on to the old stuff, thinking it was you instead of the Lord. So, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.